Ready?
Good morning. My name is Ryan Mears. I'm the Marion County Prosecutor here in Indianapolis, Indiana. And before we get started, just a reminder to everybody that the facts that are outlined in both the probable cause affidavit and the charging information are only allegations, and a person is innocent until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. It's been a long week, and first of all, I think it's important to thank a couple of people and acknowledge the efforts of a number of our partners. Number one, I want to thank Chief Randy Taylor, Chief Chris Bailey, Deputy Chief Kendall Adams for all of their help and support. We asked a lot of IMPD, and they made sure that they had all the resources that they needed in order for us to get this case turned around very quickly and be in a position to file charges today. So I want to thank their efforts. I also want to thank the lead investigator, Detective Winter, who has probably slept a combined 20 minutes over the last 96 hours. I want to thank our friends at the crime lab, who we asked a lot of, who had to test a ton of evidence and get a lot of stuff to us in a very quick time. And so I'm grateful for their assistance and help. And I also want to acknowledge Deputy Prosecutors Ross Anderson and Amy Jacobson for all of the work that they did to put us in a position to file these charges today. Taking a look at this case, this started the early morning hours on Sunday, where there was a dispute inside Raymond Child Jr.'s home. That dispute was between family members, and unfortunately that dispute resulted in violence occurring where there was multiple gunshots inside the residence. As a result of those gunshots, five people lost their lives inside the home. Raymond Childs Jr., Kezzy Childs, Eliza Childs, Rita Childs passed away inside that home as a result of the gun violence that occurred inside their residence. And Kira Hawkins also died as a result of the gunshots that she sustained during the course of this dispute. To compound the tragedy with Ms. Hawkins, she was pregnant, very pregnant at the time that this incident occurred. When officers responded to the scene, she was immediately rushed to the hospital, where they made every effort to try to save her baby. But unfortunately, as a result of the gunshot wounds that she sustained, her baby also lost its life. There was a surviving victim in this case, and that surviving victim was able to hear and see what was going on inside the residence. He heard the gunshots. He was obviously well acquainted and related to everyone inside the home. He was able to flee that residence, and as he was fleeing the residence, he too sustained multiple gunshots. The information that we have been provided leads us to believe that there is a single gunman involved in this particular case. There were two different firearms that were fired at the scene. There's a 9mm handgun that was recovered inside the residence, and as the investigation progressed, they also recovered a Draco firearm. The evidence that we have indicates, and we are alleging, that the person responsible for these six murders is Raymond Childs III. Raymond Childs is a 17-year-old juvenile. As a result of getting that information, being provided with the information, and it was alleged that Raymond Childs was responsible for this incident that occurred on Adams Street, IMPD worked very quickly and promptly to locate Mr. Childs III. They located Mr. Childs III, and during the course of that investigation, they were able to recover the second firearm that was used in the commission of these homicides. Mr. Childs, as I mentioned, is 17 years old, which puts us in kind of a unique procedural posture in terms of how this case is filed and how it will proceed. Number one, under Indiana law, if you are 17 years of age and you are accused of murder, those charges must and have to be filed in adult court. There is no option to file in juvenile court. If an individual is less than 16 years of age, it can potentially be filed in juvenile court. But because this person who is alleged to have committed these offenses is 17 years of age, this case must be filed in adult court. The charges that we have filed against Mr. Childs, six individual counts of murder, one count of attempted murder, and one count of carrying a handgun without a license. The range of penalty on the six counts of murder, a minimum sentence of 45 years, a maximum sentence of 65 years. On the attempt murder charge, which is a level one felony, the minimum sentence is 20 years, and there's a maximum sentence of 40 years. And on the carrying a handgun without a license, the minimum sentence is 0 days in jail, up to 1 year. As I mentioned, Mr. Childs is 17 years of age, and because he is 17 years of age, we are not permitted under Indiana law to seek the death penalty. We are not in a position to seek the death penalty due to the accused's age. However, we are in a position to potentially pursue a life without parole sentence in this case. The statutory aggravators that would allow us to potentially file a life without parole case is the fact that we have multiple victims involved in this case, and that there was a pregnant woman who lost her child during the course of this incident. Those two statutory aggravators are sufficient for us to potentially file life without parole. I think it's important to note on the murder charges in Indiana that these charges, the minimum penalty of 45 years up to 65 years, all of these counts can be run consecutive to one another, or they can be stacked on one another. It's also important to note that all of these charges can be run concurrent to one another. So our potential range of penalty as we address this particular case is a minimum sentence of 45 years should someone be found guilty, up until the maximum penalty that is potentially available to this particular individual, up to life without parole. Are there any questions?
Do you know what the nature of the dispute was that kind of set all this, Ryan?
It certainly appears that there was an argument between father and son that took place inside the residence. The specifics of it, I don't think we have a ton of information on. Certainly there is an allegation about staying out too late was what maybe started the initial argument and where it went from there. I think that's something we're still trying to piece together.
Is there any indication that the suspect was under the influence of drugs?
The information that we have in time doesn't indicate that, but we were not in a position to have contact with that individual until some time later. So at this point in time, we don't have anything to suggest drug use, but it's certainly something that we'll explore.
Can you explain the logistics of filing a murder charge on an unborn child?
Yeah, so in Indiana law, so the first five counts of murder are your typical did knowingly kill another person. That sixth count for killing the unborn child is actually a new addition to the Indiana Code and the Indiana statute, which now says that if a person loses an unborn child during a commission of a crime, that you can move forward with a murder charge. And so that's why it's a little bit different. I think it's worded as fetus in the statute and in the charge and information. And so the allegation in that particular case is because the mom lost her life due to the gunshot wound, and we also unfortunately lost the unborn child because of the gunshot wound, that allows us to file the additional murder charge for the baby or the fetus.
What is the relationship of Sierra Hawkins to the family?
She was engaged in a relationship with one of the individuals inside the home and was pregnant with the child.
All the people were shot, you believe, with the Draco gun?
No. So there's two different firearms used during the commission of this. The 9mm that was found inside the home, and then it certainly appears as though because the 9mm was empty when it was located inside the residence, that a second firearm was used, which was the Draco firearm.
Both those guns obviously have been recovered.
Both of those firearms have been recovered, and we've been in a position to do analysis, and the casings at the scene match with those two firearms.
Did Mr. Childs put up any resistance or anything, or could you describe the process in which the officers arrested and caught him?
It was without incident or issue when the officers came into contact with him.
Has he offered any kind of confession or statement?
Well, it's really can't get into that, and the other issue is because he is 17, he has different procedural protections in terms of when law enforcement can talk to him and how they can talk to him and who needs to be present when those conversations occur, and unfortunately I can't get into that.
How significant would you say is the surviving brother's eyewitness accounts here of what happened?
Well, it was definitely helpful in putting us in the right direction in terms of who do we need to be focusing in on. I think it's important to recognize that this case is really in its infancy. I mean, we've been working on this for 96 hours. We've already recovered the second firearm, and we're continuing to build this case. And so I think it's important to recognize that we have a lot of things that are still outstanding that will probably make this case look a little bit different than what it looks like today, which is, you know, just the beginning of the criminal process.
Is the surviving brother, is he expected to have a full recovery?
We'll certainly hope so.
Right, I know you can't make any statements that would be considered prejudicial to the administration of justice, but what's going through your mind right now as a prosecutor, as a citizen of Marion County?
I mean, the first thing that goes through your mind is you're just heartbroken. Not only did so many people lose their lives, but you know, you think about that family and what they were anticipating. I mean, the baby was due in a week. You know, I've got two young kids myself, and when you think about the fact that family was preparing for the birth of a child, that was probably going to be the best day in Ms. Hawkins's life, and something that she'd been looking forward to, and something that her entire family had been preparing for, and that's taken away from it. Not only is it taken away, but you're also dealing with the loss of everybody else's life. I mean, it's just, it's horrible, and I think that's your initial reaction, but then from there, then it becomes, what can we do to help? What can we do to help this family? What can we do to help build a better case? And then, you know, what can we do to help IMP to make sure that we're building the best case possible?